A very pleasant good afternoon and happy new year to everyone that is out there listening today. We hope and pray that you will be able to be blessed immeasurably by a study of God's Word today. This is a live broadcast, and we are anxious to be able to help you to find the answers that you are seeking in God's Word as we let the Bible speak today. It's good to be able to be with you today. January the 3rd, and so we're glad that you're able to be interested in God's Word, and we hope and pray that you will call in your questions, and we will be able to go to the answer, find the answer in God's Word. Again, the number to call in your question, the voice line, is 308-9564. Both lines are available, so if you call right now, you will get your question in on today's broadcast. Or if you'd rather just text in your question, you can text in at 725-9283, 725-9283. All of our phone numbers are area code 843. Now, if you have a friend or relative that lives in another part of the world, that should not stop them from being able to join us in today's broadcast. Go ahead and text them or communicate with them and let them know that they can tune in through an app on their smartphone called TuneIn Radio and find 106.3 in Charleston, which is WJNI, and they can join us anywhere in the world using that app called TuneIn Radio. Or if everything is right with the internet, as it sometimes is and sometimes isn't, they can also hit the live stream button from our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. And when they touch that, then that will also bring them live to this radio station, and they can listen via live stream through the internet. But by all means, whether you live close or far, you should get your questions answered today from God's Word as we let the Bible speak. Don't miss out on this, because this is the only program that you'll hear that I'm aware of locally where you set the topic, you set the theme, but it is God that gives the answer. As far as I know, this is the only program that does that here in the Charleston area. So get your questions answered right now and call in 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
Once again, we are glad that you are here with us and taking in this opportunity to get to know God's Word better. And as we do this over the radio airwaves, we want to invite you out to, when we are going to be able to do this in person with you. We have an upcoming meeting, gospel meeting here at our building in Goose Creek, 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek. S 29445 is the zip code. And that will be on Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th. That's not this weekend, but the next weekend. That's Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th. We will be starting at 6:30. So if you want to get there before 6:30, that would be great. That will give you time to sign in, and we'll get some information from you. So that would be great. We encourage you to do that. We want to see you there. We encourage you. We will be talking about God's Word. How can we know for sure that God's Word, the Holy Bible that we have, how do we know that is really the Word of God? Yes, it can be proven. It's not just something that you just have to have faith in. You can have faith in it, but we are going to show you from God's Word how you can have faith in God's Word, that it is definitely true. It proves that, and we look forward to being able to go over that with you, as well as teaching you what God shows about how he wants you to respond to the sacrifice that was made on the cross of his son, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to go over that and also have a question and answer period at the end of the presentation. We're planning to go from about 6:30 to around 8 or so, and we encourage you to come out. Once again, that's Friday and Saturday, January 15th and the 16th at 105 Maryland Street.
Now, we have our first question, and actually it fits into what you were just talking about there, Chuck, and that is, it's from Patsy, and Patsy wants to know, about her daughter. She says her daughter was raised in church, but now at 29, she's looking outside the Lord's Word for meaning to life. She doesn't really believe the Bible is real because it was written by man. How do you get through to my daughter? Well, Patsy, at 29, she is going to have to be the one to reason these things out for herself. But we can give you reason for everyone, whether we're related to them or not, to know, in fact, that the Word of God is, in fact, the Word of God. There are many things in God's Word that shows that it was in the Bible long before man ever discovered it. Patsy, let me first send you to our website so that you can get a whole list of what I'm about to show you, and I'll just give you a couple of examples. You can go to BibleAlone.com, and when you go there, if you're on a portable device, put the desktop viewing at the bottom of the sheet, and then once you're in desktop view, then there will be a menu on the left-hand side. And in that menu, there is one that says Bible Study Materials Free. Now, then it'll bring up a whole list of Bible study materials that are absolutely free. And one of them, about the fifth or sixth down in the column, it is Scientific Evidence of the Bible's Inspiration. And when you click on that, you feel free to print that out as much and as often as you want. And it gives you a whole list of reasons to know that when we read the Word of God, it is, in fact, the Word of God. Let me just give you one, for example. In Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, it was written about 2,700 years ago, long before man ever discovered that the earth was not flat, but it was, in fact, a circle or a globe. Here's what Isaiah said over 1,000 years before man discovered it. He says in Isaiah 40 and verse 22, "It is he who sits above the circle of the earth." Now, how did Isaiah know the earth was a circle? Wow, yeah, over 1,000 years before, man discovered it was not flat, but it is in fact round. How did that get in Isaiah? And there's many others like that throughout the Bible. On the list, you'll see a couple of dozen things like that. It shows the scientific evidence. It shows the date that man discovered it, and then it shows it was in the Bible the whole time. Patsy, that's where I'd begin. I would begin with that list of things, and if you want more information on that, then feel free to request it by calling 553-5157. And you can just say, send me more information on scientific evidences of proofs of the Bible, and we'll be glad to accommodate you.
You know, Ricky, it's so important that we go to the Bible for ourselves to know what the Lord would have us to know concerning this life, concerning godliness. You know, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your faith will be developed only when you hear God's word." And saying all of that, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. All you would need to do is dial 843-553-5157. Leave us your information, and we will put that free Bible correspondence course in the mail for you. That's right. I said free. We do not charge you. We will not ask you for your tithes or your offering. We will not ask you for your donations. All we want is for you to hear God's word and follow it. So dial that number, 843-553-5157, and enroll in our free Bible correspondence course. You will hear life-changing words that will get you to heaven. That is your goal, right? To get to heaven? Well, that's my goal. I believe that's Ricky's and Chuck's goal as well. So let's get to heaven. Let's all work together to get to heaven and study the Bible. Let's see what the Lord has to say. You know, in our day and time, man has a lot to say regarding the things of God, regarding spiritual things, religious things. Are you going to believe man? Are you going to believe God? I hope you would believe God. So go ahead, dial that number, 843-553-5157 to enroll in a course where you can study at your own time, at your own pace. In fact, when you finish the first course, you'll mail it back to us, and we'll send you out the second course so you can continue to study whenever you get chance. Time for break. All right, we are going to break. While we're at break, go ahead and call 843-308-9564 to ask your questions. We have a text line available, 843-725-9283. Remember, we are on Facebook, Low Country Church. That's Low Country Church. You can ask your questions on Facebook as well. Just search Low Country Church on Facebook, and we look forward to answering those questions. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are serious when it comes down to the Bible Correspondence Course. We are happy, glad, thrilled to be able to send you the treasure that will never be taken from you. And so please don't hesitate to enroll in it. We will be glad to send that to you free of charge. It is the website is free. Our gospel meeting, we will not ask for a handout at all or a contribution. We will not even mention the idea of giving some financial help at all, because it is our pleasure to be able to give you the treasure that will never be taken from you. So please mark your calendars for not this Friday and Saturday, but next Friday and Saturday at 105 Maryland Street. We are inviting you out to come in person to be able to get your questions answered there live. And we would love to meet you, certainly, but more importantly, for us to be able to find the answers in God's Word so that you will be able to know what God expects before we meet Him face to face. Yes, everyone listening right now is going to meet God face to face when He comes in His might to be able to judge mankind. Everyone is going to stand before the judgment seat of God, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. So let's not wait too long to be able to get ready. Let's make certain that we can be ready to meet Him right now, and we've got to know what He expects of us before we can do it. And then we have to be doers of His Word and not hearers only. So go ahead and mark your calendars for next Friday and Saturday. It is absolutely free. We will not take up any kind of collection, nor will we even hint that you should give. It is our thrill to be able to give you a treasure that will never be taken away from you. God's Word, to be able to find the answers that we all need to be able to meet Him one day. So mark that again, the location is 105 Maryland Street in Goose Creek, Marylyn. We will meet you at 6:30, both Friday night and Saturday night. We look forward to you coming. That is not this Friday, but the next Friday and Saturday, and we will let the Bible speak in person to be able to get your answers from God's Word then and there. So don't miss out on that. That's coming up in less than 2 weeks. So make certain that you're able to come and be part of that. Now, we are still waiting on your questions. As they come in, please go ahead and continue to call as far as your questions to get them answered on today's broadcast. The voice line is 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. Chuck?
Yeah, we have Leslie, I believe it is, asking this question about deacons. And this person wants to know, is a deacon a servant or is it a title? Is it a job title, as in something they do, or is it what they do in the church? Well, we're going to go to the Word of God, as we always do. First Timothy chapter 3 talks about deacons. It begins chapter 3 and verse 1, 1 Timothy, it begins talking about a bishop. The word bishop, it is not capitalized. So it's when we see things capitalized, that would indicate a specific title or that word being used as a title. But the word bishop is not capitalized. It's lowercase. And that word bishop, it is the meaning of the word is actually interchangeable with the word pastor and overseer, elder, shepherd, all those words being interchangeable, not different, but they're being interchangeable. So we see verses 1-7 talks about what a bishop should be as far as the things, the characteristics that describe them. And then if you get over to verse 8, that's when he mentions deacons. So it's in the same context, okay, same chapter, same context, same verses. And he starts in saying, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, not holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also be first proved, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers or temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For those who have served as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that is what we see God talking about deacons. We don't see that any other place in the scripture. And so what we have to take that as is the word, once again, deacon, very similar to bishop in verse 2. The deacon in verse 8, it is not capitalized. It is not given as a title, as in you are a deacon title, or, you know, deacon so-and-so. If we look in the Old Testament, the titles that were given, the title of high priest, that was capitalized, as in the position that they were put in. But in the New Testament, we just do not see that. And the word deacon being lowercase, it's not given as a title, more of a role that you serve. A role that you serve, such as a mom. If you're a mom, are you the mom, capital mom? Are you the only mom? No, you're just your mom. It's a descriptor. It describes what you do as and who you are, as opposed to giving you a title. So that is the difference we see there with the deacons. And once again, the thing that we see is the qualifications here in verses 8-13. I'd say qualifications, more characteristics, the character traits that we see of a deacon. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And the verse escapes my memory at the time, but we'll find it in just a quick minute and let you know the reference. But there's a passage in the Gospels that talks about call no man rabbi or teacher, and for you have one teacher.
Matthew 23, verse 6, 7, and 8.
Right. And he says, but you are all brethren. So here in Christ's New Testament church, we are all brethren. There's no big I's or little U's. There's no titles. We are all equal. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. There's just different roles that we serve, and God determines those roles and who serves those. So,
again, the number, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. Or you can text us if you'd rather. You can text the number to the number 725-9283. So please don't miss out on getting your question in today's broadcast as we let the Bible speak. And by the way, thank you so much for your participation, your interest, your questions that you're asking. That says something about your character. The Lord promises, seek and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Ask, and it shall be given. So thank you for showing that kind of initiative to find the answers of life. You are to be commended. The Lord recognizes that. We recognize that, and that is all that's important, that God recognizes it. And so we are happy to serve him as a deacon with a little D, or but you know, we're glad to be able to serve and point you to what God's word says. We have another question that's come in from someone by the last three numbers of their phone number is 113, and their question is, who were the sons of God in Genesis 6 and verse 2? The sons of God in Genesis 6 and verse 2. Well, this is an age-old question, unfortunately. Many times people have wondered about this. Let me just read it. Starting in verse 1, it says, now it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And later that was changed and lowered a good bit. But there's the phrase, sons of God. That same phrase is used also in Job chapter 1 and verse 6, 7, 8. There it talks about an audience with God himself. The sons of God came up before God. Well, does that mean that if those were angels, that in Genesis chapter 6, that has to be angels? Well, no, it doesn't mean that. It could be men that were serving God, or it could be all mankind, sons of God. After all, aren't we all the offspring of God? Yes, we are. So there's no way for us to nail down exactly what that is talking about. Now, in the context, was there some extraordinary things going on? Yes, there was. But that does not mean that does not give us special reason to be able to put 2 + 2 together and come up with an absolute answer about who it's talking about. God ended up killing them all, for sure, except for one family, which was Noah and his household. So whatever it was. It ain't no more, because God destroyed all mankind in just a few verses later in that same chapter. Thank you so much for your question. That is an old-time question, and the truth is we can't figure that one out with clarity at all. So we're just going to let it stand. There it is, and maybe one day we'll be able to ask him personally ourselves what it meant. It's time for us to take our next break. And before we go to break, Ricardo, you've got some things you want to say about this course?
Yes, Ricky. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the Lord says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Should we allow ourselves to be prevented from learning what his law says? Should we be in a position or a situation where we do not obey the will of the Lord? Jesus said it plainly. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. Those are the folks who call themselves Christians. Those are the folks who say they are disciples of Christ. But he will say to them, depart from me, you who work or practice lawlessness. That is, you who do not do the will of my Father. Let not that be you. Call today, 843-553-5157. Enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. It's free. You don't have anything to lose. In fact, you have everything to gain. That is in Christ Jesus. Call now, 843-553-5157. And while we're at break, don't forget, we're answering questions. Call the voice line, 843-308-9564, or text us your question, 843-725-9283. And we will be right back. All right, well, we are back, and I hope that during the break you called that number to receive your free Bible course. Like I said earlier, we will put it in the mail this evening to you. All you have to do is call that number, 843-553-5157. I believe we have a question, Ricky.
Yes, we have a caller calling in this question, and they want to know. In the past, it says, I don't know how to get over the past lover. And I know God removed it for my good. What does God say about moving on? Well, the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 told them that they were to respond to what is right and with repentance. But that repentance needs to be moved on by a godly sorrow. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death. So sometimes if there has been an event that has happened to cause us, whether it's sinful or otherwise, if we're having to change in order to serve the Lord, then we should not regret that, because what blessing is waiting for us in heaven? And so if we begrudge having to become righteous, well, then we do not have a godly sorrow. We've got a sorrow of the world. And that verse, 2 Corinthians 7:10, says, sorrow of the world produces death. So it's really not going to accomplish anything if by chance we are regretting our moving on or our going on to serve. Now, if it was all up and above board and all virtuous in the courtship, which I will now address and hope that will be the case, well, then many times those kind of situations are out of our control, and we just have to continue to keep our eyes on the prize of heaven. And I would direct you to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, where Paul gave up a number of things in order to serve the Lord. And these were not sinful things. These were noble things that he mentions. And as far as a good Jew, anyone would be proud of such a resume as he had there in Philippians 3, beginning with verse 3 through 9. And he says let me pick up with verse 8. It says, for indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or garbage or dung, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, that I may know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed even to death. Wow, boy, he was converted, wasn't he? Yes, he was. And that's what conversion looks like, my friend. And so this gives you an opportunity to cast your glance to eternal things, to heaven, to be able to be with God one day. So whenever there's change like this happening in your life, well, that's a good time to make the total change toward eternal things. Why not begin by calling 553-5157 and get the Bible correspondence course that you can, we'll send it to you free. Please put away your checkbook. Do not send us your money. Let us send you treasure in God's word that you will be able to be blessed with for an eternity. So when you call 553-5157, you'll be given an opportunity to give your name and address, and we'll send this course to you absolutely free. So don't miss out on that. Now, those of you that are have questions, that maybe something happened in church today, or there's some things that you want to know about what would be good for us to go forward with in this new year, then don't hesitate to call in your question right now. The voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us like the last caller. And that text number is 725-9283.
Did you know that you are the only person that can stop your relationship with God? You are the only one that can slow your relationship with God. You are the only one that can increase your relationship with God. You're in control of that. It's not just something that you pray about and you pray about and God's just going to magically increase your relationship. No, it's not that easy. Prayer is a part of it, but you need to get to know God, be in his presence, get in his word, apply his word to your life. Don't just read the Bible. Study the Bible. Don't just think of it as just the Bible. The word Bible just means book. The word Bible isn't even in the Bible. It's just a book. The word just means book. This is the collection of God's word. It's the word that in his grace and his mercy, he decided to not only give to us as his people, as his children, but he preserved it. And he promised us that he would preserve it. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, he quotes that all that his word, it endures and abides forever. So because his word endures and abides forever, it's everlasting. It will always be there for you. So, you know, far too often we complain about certain situations in our lives when we have the answers right there and we don't look for the answers. We don't try to look in God's word for the answers. You know, we each will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we will have to give an account of ourselves to God. He tells us that in Romans. He tells us that in 2 Corinthians. He tells us that in Ecclesiastes. We will have to give our account for God in judgment. And so it's best to take this time that we have on earth here. You know, that's what God gave us. He gave us this time on earth. And he expects us to give him our time back. You know, God, he just wants you. He wants your love. He wants your devotion. He wants your affection. He wants your commitment. He wants your attention. He wants you to love him. And Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, God just wants to love his people. And he's done that over and over and over. And he continues to do it over and over and over again. And so we each have a decision to make. How passionate are you going to be about God? How zealous, how enthusiastic are you going to be about God, his word, his people? We each have to make that decision for ourselves. Well, you know, this life offers you so much false hope, so much false gratitude, so much temporary gratitude. But God is everlasting. His love for you is everlasting. Oh, why don't you commit yourself to him, to growing and learning more in him? If you need help with that, give us a call. Give us a call, 308-9564, 308-9564. We will let the Bible speak.
We are live. Bank certain that you go ahead and call right now to be able to get your question in. The number, both lines are available. And we didn't mention earlier, did you know that you can go live on the air if you desire? You can just say, I want to ask this live on the air, and give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo. So if you want to go live, you can do that as well. This is a live broadcast, and you can go on the air as well if you'd like to converse over the radio waves. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd just rather text in your question, you can do that as well, 725-9283. Ricardo, you got the next question?
Yes, sir. We have a question in from Dolores. Dolores, thank you so much for asking this question. She asked, when we ask forgiveness for sin, God says everything is forgiven. What does that mean in relationship to Judgment Day? Well, Dolores, if we are still in our sins, come Judgment Day, we will be condemned. The wages of sin is death. Romans 10:6:23. Sorry about that. So it's important that we are cleansed. We're forgiven from our sins. So I want to direct you to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Dolores, when the Lord forgives us our sins, he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so on the day of judgment, if we stand before him and have been forgiven, that is, having been cleansed from all unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will not be condemned. So I hope that answers your question. That's 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9.
We sure appreciate your question so very much, and we are proud that you are seeking after God's answers in His Word, and you're to be commended for that. And thank you so much for seeking, and hopefully that was the answer to the question that you wanted. If not, be sure to call back and have your question written down to 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or if you'd rather text, you can text at 725-9283. Did that one come over Facebook? Is that one?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. So we want to thank you so much. There's three or four ways that you can communicate with us, no matter where you're at in the world. And if you want to communicate via Facebook, you can go to Low Country Church and then like us, and that opens up the way to communicate to us here on the radio program. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call. Both lines are available, and you will be the next question as we let the Bible speak, 308-9564. Both lines are available. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
You know, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28 tells us that, you know, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know, that last phrase in that verse, serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. If you think about serving God, he says acceptably. The fact that he tells us to serve God acceptably, that would give you the thought that, hey, there is an acceptable way to serve God. Also, there is an unacceptable way to serve God. And then he says, how do we do that? We serve him with reverence and godly fear. Well, that's partially redundant, because the word reverence, it carries with it this idea of godly fear, respect given to, honor given to, this idea of being fear, a fearful respect. That's the type of service to God we're supposed to have. And that is our efforts here, that we're trying to help you learn more. We're trying to give you God's word to show you from God's word how you are supposed to be committing yourself to the most faithful creator. That's why we're here, and that's all we're trying to do. If you have a question about that, we encourage you to call in 308-9564, 308-9564, and we're going to break right now, but we're going to encourage you to take part in this Bible correspondence course.
Galatians chapter 1. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Would you like to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Should we not hold our spiritual instructors to the same standard that court of laws hold on those who testify? Well, we should know God's word and what it says for ourselves. We should never take the words of man and believe that that is what God would have us to know. So call 843-553-5157 to enroll in the free Bible correspondence course while we go on our break.
Now, we are serious when we say that it is free. We are glad to be able to send this to you. It's not a bait and switch or anything like that. We are happy to be able to share with you some vital things in God's word that are not commonly taught today. And the good thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, is when you get the course in the mail, you can study this anytime you want to. It is up to you. You are the one that has the if you are a morning glory and you're brightest, you're clearest, you're at your best in the morning, you can study it in the morning. Or if you are the best in the evening, then you can take this study and open up your Bible and study this in the middle of the night. It's up to you when is the right time to study it and when you can concentrate the best. That is when. Because it will be challenging. There are some things there you may have never seen before. And I hate to be so blunt, but some of these things that's not being taught in churches today, may keep you from going to heaven one day. The great deceiver, the devil, the wicked one, yep, he's out. He's real. He's alive. And he's going to do everything he can to keep you ignorant. That is, keep you not knowing what is needful in order to go to heaven. So don't miss out. Go ahead, get this course in the mail to you. It is free. The only thing you have to lose is confusion. It will be clear what God expects of us. It is so clear. It is so simple. Man is the one that makes things confusing. So let the clarity, the simple message that God wants us to have, be found right there in that book that you already own, the Bible. Go ahead and call 553-5157, and we'll be happy to send this to you absolutely free. Oh, and by the way, mark your calendar, not this coming Friday, but the next Friday, the 15th and 16th, mark your calendar. We're going to have a special meeting, community meeting, just for you, where we're going to present the gospel and answer your questions face-to-face. Oh, we would love to meet you face-to-face. So go ahead and mark your calendars and come out on next Friday at 6:30 and Saturday at 6:30, the 15th and 16th. And to the address is 105 Maryland Street, Marylyn, in Goose Creek. And if you're wondering what it's close to, it's close by the intersection of St. James and St. James Red Bank crossing 52, right there where that says, just one block from there. So it's right in the middle of that area of town. So please, please don't miss out on that. And we are happy to send to you. It's absolutely free. We will not take up any kind of collection. So just leave your wallets, leave your checkbook behind, and we are happy to be able to give you the treasures. Matter of fact, we'll even have a packet of Bible study materials waiting on you to give to you absolutely free. So that's coming, not this Friday, but the next Friday, the 15th and 16th at 6:30. So don't miss out on getting that to you. Well, it's time for us to return to our questions. And again, the numbers, if you have a question, call 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have Tina calling this question. Tina mentions someone who is married but now separated. Doesn't say divorced, but just says separated. And Tina is asking, if this person starts dating someone else, is it adultery? Well, we'll look at Matthew chapter 19, and we'll see what is adultery here. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus answering this question says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except because of sexual immorality, and marries another, he commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." So here he's talking about marrying one another, and you commit adultery. Now, if I understand this question correctly, Tina, I apologize if it may be written wrong, or if I'm just understanding it wrong. But if I'm wrong, please just call back and clarify it for me. What I think you're asking is, The person is married but just separated and not divorced. So they're separated but still legally married because they're not divorced yet. So if I'm wrong on that, Tina, please call back and let me know. Second thing is, if the person is still married but dating someone else, and that doesn't necessarily, we don't see anything in God's word that would tell us that, with the exception of we're told to flee sexual immorality, and that type of situation where you would be dating someone who's not your spouse, that seemed to be even if there is no sexual type of relationship, physical connection or relationship, if you're dating someone, that would seem to be kind of playing around with that situation there. And you might not necessarily see that as a good thing. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the passage where we see the most talking about marriage, there is a oneness that's supposed to be in a marriage. And there is a connection there that dating someone else while you're married would seem to violate that type of connection that is supposed to be evident in a marriage. So hopefully that's a helpful to you. While we see that a physical relationship with someone who's not your spouse, that is clearly adultery and fornication. And that's ground for divorce. But as far as if you're legally married but separated and dating someone, in God's eyes, that we see that type of situation is going to be different than what the world would say. The world would say, "Oh, just go out and be happy, do whatever you want." You know, God does not give us that freedom. God, he hates divorce and he wants couples to stay married. And so any activity that you would take part in that would prohibit that or severely decrease those possibilities of staying married, that would be against the will of God. So we see, hopefully that's been helpful to you. That's once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, but specifically verse 9. 308-9564 is the question line, 308-9564 to reach us here at the station, or the text line is available, 725-9283, 725-9283.
Don't miss out on getting your question in today. We are glad to be able to go to God's Word for the answer. We have a caller from the last three digits of 5113. They want to know the answer to this question. Where in the Bible does it talk about the correct way to operate the house of God? Well, I looked at that, and that's believe it or not, that is a very broad question, but the first thing that popped in my mind was a phrase that's similar to that in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, which brings this out. He says, "And if I delay, I write to you that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." Now, there he's talking about, and there you can see a similar phrase, how to conduct ourselves in the house of God. But it's not talking about a building. The word church or church building is nowhere in the Bible. And so but it's talking about how that we belong to him. We're his vessel. We are his people. We are his church, his belonging. And he's talking about how we are to behave ourselves. Now, as a flock of God, I thought, well, maybe you were talking about worship, and there you can see there's a lot of guidelines. For example, John 4:24, God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. There's that truth thing again. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there were some abuses and attitude problems concerning some of the spiritual gifts that were practiced in the first century. And the bottom line of that chapter, it says, let everything be done in decently and in order, that everything be done unto edification. And it was supposed to things to be done one by one. And so there are guidelines that God gives us there in that chapter of how to conduct ourselves in the church, is a phrase that's used there in 1 Corinthians 14. So it could be talking about worship. Or if you mean a third thing, it could be, You might be meaning about the money, how the money is supposed to be used, because it's done by the church, but it is given to God. So obviously we have to ask the owner, God, on how that money is to be used. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, we see an example where Paul says that we can be, those who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So that is one way that money could be used that is given on the first day of the week. Now, why do I say that? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, they were commanded to give upon the first day of the week when they came together. And so that money in that case was used to help needy saints. As I have given order in the churches of Galatia, even so do you. And so that was a collection for the saints, the needy saints that were in the Jerusalem area. And so the reason I emphasize or that says saints is because in Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 6, and Acts 11, we see that money was gathered to help needy saints. So there was three ways to answer that. It was talking about, if you're talking about money, God shows how that money is to be used. It belongs to him. If we use it without his permission, ladies and gentlemen, that is stealing. If it belongs to God, he's the one that has to say so, and he better say so, or we do not do it unless he says it, because he has all authority. If it's talking about worship, well, he gives us guidelines in that as well. So there's lots of ways to approach this. Hopefully, some of those were able to answer your question that you had in mind. Thank you so much for your question, and we sure do appreciate your interest in knowing what God says. Again, the number, if you want to call in your question right now, the number is 308-9564, and it's time for us to take our next break. Ricardo?
All right, so we're going to break. While we're on break, I strongly encourage all of you who are listening right now to call 843-553-5157. We want to send you this free Bible correspondence course. Again, it's free. The only thing you have to do is call the number, leave us your information, and we will get it to you free of charge. It's important. Many things that you heard today during your worship service, or maybe some things you were raised up to believe regarding your faith, regarding God, it may not be accurate. It may not be true. And so it's important for us to know exactly what God says concerning life and godliness. So while we're at break, go ahead and call 843-553-5157. And remember, we are still taking questions. So call in your question, 843-308-9564, or text it, 843-725-9283, and we'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we have a question from an anonymous caller. The question is, if you separate because of adultery, are you free to date? I believe we had a similar question, and we are more than happy to answer this question. I direct you to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, I'm going to read for you verses 3 through 12, verses 3 through 12, Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 12, and this will answer your question. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Verse 7, they said to him, well, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. Verse 11, but he said to them, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For they are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and they are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and they are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept, let him accept it. If you separate because of adultery, are you free to date? If you are separated, you are not divorced. But if you are divorced because of adultery, you are free to date. Not the one who committed the adultery, but the one who was offended. I hope that answers your question. Remember, the lines are open. Call 843-308-9564 to ask a question, or text 843-725-9283. And remember, that free Bible course, yes, I'm going to continue to stress it because it's important that we know what God what God's word says.
Hey, Ricardo, you forgot to tell them how much it costs.
Oh, right. It's free.
Oh, free.
Yes.
Okay.
843-553-5157. 843-553-5157. It is free. You don't have to send us a donation. tithe, offering, or any of those things. We won't ask you for your money. We will never ask you for your money. And we just want you to receive the richness of God's word. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, I got a question here from Irvin Green. Irvin, thank you so much for listening to the broadcast. We appreciate you calling in your question. And he asks, well, he first makes a statement that when Jesus took the communion in first word, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, it said he had one cup of, well, it says wine, but we don't know if it wine, but we do see it's fruit of the vine. So when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he had one cup of the fruit of the vine. And in his church nowadays, many have many small cups of the fruit of the vine. Does this go against the word of God to take communion with many small cups instead of one cup? Well, if when you look at the examples of, I say examples, but when you look at the gospels and each gospel account that mentions the instituting of the Lord's Supper, we see here that it does mention just one cup. It says Jesus, when he took the cup in Matthew, we have a Matthew chapter 26 and also in Mark chapter 14 and also Luke chapter 22. All three mention that it was one cup, but they all mention something more important. It says the fruit of the vine. And so the important thing is what's inside the cup, as opposed to just using just one cup or many small cups, so that there's no germ cross contamination or such. Many churches that take part in doing the Lord's Supper with multiple small cups of fruit of the vine, as opposed to one large cup and everybody takes a sip. You know, so we see there that let's focus on what Christ instituted when he instituted the Lord's Supper was the fruit of the vine, taking part of that fruit of the vine, because it's a reminder of his blood. It is a new covenant in his blood, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. And the bread, the unleavened bread, that is his body, which was broken for us. Those are the two things that he wants us to remember: his blood and his body. His blood that was shed and his body that was broken. And he says we use the fruit of the vine for the blood and the bread for the body. And I'm sure you know that. That's why you brought this question up. But as far as using the multiple cups as opposed to one cup, that's what we see, the what God's word says, that he used one when they instituted it. And we recognize that the most important aspect of it is what's inside the cup and not the cup itself.
In Luke 22 and verse 17, in the midst of all of this, Jesus told them, as he took the cup and gave thanks, he said, "Take this, divide it among yourselves." And so there is a verse that does say that they were supposed to divide it. So whether they sip it as far as dividing it, or it is divided into smaller sanitary cups, well, again, we can interpret that the way we want to, but there is that phrase. That is Luke 22 and verse 17. We sure do appreciate that, and that shows that you are a student of God's word and that you desire to know some of the more detailed things within God's word, and so that you're to be commended for that. Now we have a text question that has come in from the last four digits of 1084, and their question is, "Please help me, I'm confused. My pastor just preached on tithing, and that if you don't give 10% of your earnings, that you will miss out on the blessing. Reference Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. Can you confirm or deny this?" Well, caller, I would encourage you to look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, where God says that Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by law, you are fallen from grace. And so if this preacher, this pastor, got up and preached as we must practice something that the law of Moses says that they were to practice, then they are actually falling from grace. And if you follow after that pastor that says that, goes to the Old Testament to justify a new covenant practice, then you too may be falling from grace. So let's not be caught up in everything that comes out of the pulpit. Let's make certain whether those things are in God's word. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. He also said in Luke 24:44, that all things are fulfilled in the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets concerning me. Jesus came to fulfill that law. It has fulfilled its purpose. Now he is the real thing. If you doubt that, look at Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17, and there you see clearly we've got to follow the new covenant, the New Testament. He's the one that's going to judge us one day, not the law of Moses. So please don't get caught up in everything that comes out of the pulpit, including the one where we're at, because we do not want you to listen to us. We do not want you to listen to even us on the radio. Now, that doesn't mean you can't and should not be looking into God's word when we send you to the verses. We must find what God's word says, because that's what's going to judge us one day. Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul himself said, even if we, including himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel, that is the good news that Jesus brought, then what we preach to you, let him be accursed. Whoa. Falling from grace, accursed? Yeah, we better not go there. We better just listen to what the new covenant says. And you might wonder, well, why are they always talking about this tithing? That is a good question, but I'm going to let that one be one for you to answer. The Lord wants us to follow the new, which says give from a cheerful heart. Again, the number, if you have a question, call. And by the way, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, 7, 8. There's how we should give, bountifully, cheerfully. It doesn't say we're supposed to tithe. We're about to run out of time. This is our last segment coming up. Please don't miss out on getting the correspondence course to you. It is absolutely free. Matter of fact, Ricardo, why is it important that they get this correspondence course?
Well, remember, the scripture tells us in Romans 10 and 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's important, because it is God who is to be true and every man a liar. And so we don't want you taking our word. Several of you so far this afternoon have enrolled in the Bible correspondence course. You are to be commended for your hunger, for your thirst after righteousness. I can imagine there are many more out there in this area and abroad that are seeking after the truth of God's word. I'm not sure about you, but you know, it's a little bit frustrating when you see the religious world, those who profess Christianity, doing things that are not in the scriptures. That's frustrating to me. So why not study for yourself? See what God has to say. Call 843-553-5157 while we are on the break. 843-553-5157. Leave your information so we could get that course out to you today. Remember, it's free. We'll be right back.
We are so excited that you have joined us in this radio program today, and we hope and pray that you have been blessed, not from us, but from God himself, from his word, for that's where the true blessings will come that will never be taken away from us. So what better way for you to be blessed even during the week? You don't have to wait on this radio program. You can get the Bible correspondence course to you simply by calling 553-5157. It is free. We will never ask for a handout. There are thousands of you here in the metro area that have enrolled in this course, and you can call and tell us, yes, it was free, and this is what I got out of it. I was very much blessed. And so, matter of fact, two individuals here at the table right now were two such individuals that enrolled in the course and called us concerning this. And now they are not just the students, they are the teachers. Three, yeah, there's a third one through the glass. And so it is such a blessing to see what the gospel does to people. It turns them from the individual that is seeking to the individual that is teaching. And so please let your journey begin. Simply call 553-5157 and get the course in the mail to you, and you too will be able to be a soldier in the Lord's army, to be equipped to greater good works than you ever dreamed before. So let God shape you and make you even into the image that we were intended to be to begin with. 553-5157. It is absolutely free. Don't miss out on getting this today. 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak.
Got a quick question from Tammy. This would be real quick. And Tammy asks, where in the Bible does it say to pray out the old year and pray in the new year at church with a watch night service? Tammy, nowhere in the Bible is that found. That is a tradition of man. Watch night service is a tradition of man that is not anything to do with the church. It was never commanded. As a matter of fact, the origins of watch night service go back to the slavery days and when slavery was about to get let out. That's what they were watching for. They were watching for the new year to come in so the laws could go into effect for their slaves to be free. So that's the origin of watch night service. That's a tradition of man, and it is nowhere found in the Bible. That was really quick, so I just wanted to go ahead and answer that. Also, just to throw out there, if you didn't know, that number for the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-5157, that's also a daily Bible message number that you can take part in. Once again, Ricky was mentioning about doing things through the week. You can call that number every single day and get a new Bible message, a message from God's Word, just a quick little devotional there, a couple of minutes, something to encourage you, something to help you to study God's Word. So even after this broadcast is over, if you haven't signed up for the course, you can dial that 553-5157 number. You can sign up for the course, and a little bit after the program, we switch it back to the daily message, and you can take part in that daily message every day to help you each day to get closer to God. 308-9564, 308-9564 to reach us here, and we will let the Bible speak.
All right, we have a question from Bobby J. Bobby J. asks, are ministers who ask for tithes from the congregation accursed since tithing is no longer a thing due to the New Testament? Bobby, thank you so much for your questions. I want to direct your attention to three passages. The first one, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ, is the only teaching that we ought to observe. In fact, also in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, it says, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. And so when we attempt to be justified by the law, the laws of Moses, God said that we have fallen from grace. Bobby, it's one more passage I want to direct your attention to in 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We'll do 9, 10, and 11. It says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Transgresses mean to go beyond the doctrine or the teaching of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine or teaching, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. That word greet could also understand to mean encourage or support. And so when we support or encourage anyone that is teaching a doctrine that is not within the doctrine of Christ, a teaching that is not within the teachings of Christ, if we support that, if we encourage that, we share in that sin. Bobby J., I hope that answers your question. Again, call us 308-9564, 308-9564, and we'll get your questions answered.
Don't miss out on getting your question in today. And we have about 5 minutes left, so hurry, get your question in, and we will get it on the air today. 308-9564, that is the voice line, or if you'd rather text, You can text us at 725-9283. We have a caller from the last three digits of 5113. They want to know this question. What does the Bible say about using our God-given talents to serve and glorifying God? Well, I started to go to the parable of the talents, but that's not actually talking about talents. A talent in that parable was talking about a large sum of money. And even though the principle that is taught there is true, many times people get confused because of the foreign word that is used there, that large sum of money. So let me just go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 6, says, "Having then gifts," and that's literally the idea of charisma, that benefit or that ability that I have, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to me, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If in the proportion of our faith, or motivated by faith is the idea there. If ministry, then use it toward ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, you look at those and you think, okay, now that's not the kind of talents that I was talking about. Well, unfortunately, we live in such a carnal society today. Many times people think of, I've got beauty. My skin is a gift from God. Therefore, I'm going to show as much of, wait a minute. No, that would go against what God says. Well, my muscles are so strong, I need to show how much weight. Wait a minute. Didn't mention that there either, did it? Many times people interpret the gifts as something carnal, physical, and along that line. Well, here is a totally different flavor of what God is saying that we should use them for. It is information. It is character that he builds up in us, and where he is the one in control, and where he is molding us into the image of his son. Let me give you the verse on that. Romans 8 and verse 29. Many of us know verse 28 by heart, but verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many among many brethren." And so all of the imagery where we are reflecting God's character, by all means, let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Shine all over the neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine. We learned that as a little child, and so it's true as an adult. Let's let his light, his character, his charisma, his gifts shine through us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're down to just about 2 minutes, and so we're going to let Ricardo close out the program. Again, urging you to take advantage of this correspondence course that you can study anytime you want to. Ricardo?
You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Is it possible that we may have been restricted from learning the whole truth? Could the lack of truth keep us from going to heaven? My friends, the answer is yes. May that not be us. Call 843-553-5157 to enroll in our free Bible correspondence course. We also offer in-home Bible studies. You can also let that be known when you leave your message on the 843-553-5157. We greatly appreciate you and your questions today. All those who have enrolled in the Bible course, again, I tell you, you are to be commended for your willingness to study God's word. We are here every Sunday to answer your questions.
Gospel meeting.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Ricky. Just want to remind everyone again of the gospel meeting on January 15th and 16th at 6:30 p.m. We hope you're able to make it out there. We want to answer your questions in person, and we want to meet you. It's always good to put a face with some of the names we hear come across the lines here. All right, we are done for the day. Always remember, when it comes to God and His Word, we are going to let the Bible speak.